Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Are you ready for this? This is Felt and Mass.
Oh, that's stupid. My God.
Told you so.
Presented by DraftKings Sportsbook on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
It was an anemic performance by Jaylen Brown. He had nothing yesterday. Nothing. And Jason Tatum, 6-for-18, that ain't going to cut it. Not against Giannis. Not against Giannis. You need to be that dude that you were against Kevin Durant and the Brooklyn Nets. That's who Jason Tatum need to be. And so I'm of the mindset that one game told me all. One game, Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown need to be the stars we believe them to be in order to have a shot to win this series. Because even think about this. Giannis did his thing with a triple-double. We've seen Giannis have better games. We've seen Giannis. He had a triple-double yesterday, and we've seen him have better games. We looked at him, 24 points, 13 assists, 12 rebounds, whatever it was. You're looking at Giannis like, he could have done much more than that. And I expect him to. I don't know what Tatum and Jaylen Brown are going to do. I know what Giannis is going to do. And if Tatum and Jaylen Brown don't step up, this series is going to end quickly.
All right, Celtics Bucks game two tonight at the Garden, 7 p.m. here on 98.5 The Sports Hub. What are your thoughts on Stephen A's analysis there, Maz?
He's dead on. He's dead on. And I know we got more Stephen A, and I thought his analysis on the series overall was spot on. But let's start here. Tatum and Brown got to elevate. And I start with Tatum first because he's the better player. Giannis is the best player in this series. He's the best player. He might be the best player in the league now. Okay, in terms of both ends of the floor, I think he probably is. So, because defensively, he's a force. Someone's got to answer him and be in his face. And when I say in his face, I mean, you know, pushing back. Okay, that's what I mean, pushing back. So Brown's shorter than Tatum. He's not as skilled as Tatum. But those two guys got to look at Giannis and say, we don't care how good you are. We're going to take the game over too. Like, there's got to be some pushback there from the Celtics' best players. If that doesn't happen, they'll get smoked.
You know, I don't know which sort of cliche you want, but those two have to elevate.
Yes.
Or they have to dig deep again, whichever direction you want to go. They've got to find another gear to it and be tougher and more determined, and that's what it's going to take.
How about just play smarter? So it doesn't feel like they want to go into the paint where, you know, the Bucks clog it defensively, so settle for mid-range jumpers.
I know
they don't want to.
Well, no, I mean, they could be smart. They don't have to turn the ball over and give, you know.
Well, that too, yeah.
Give up 27 points on turnovers. Yeah, that's smarter, but it's a mentality thing. They have to, you know, I the last series.
It's assertiveness.
I think it was clear that they wanted to show that they were better than Durant, and Tatum was better than Durant, and they, you know, it was a Durant-Kyrie thing, and it was a Nets thing, because they have a little bit of a Nets thing, and they wanted to assert themselves, we are tougher, we are better, and we're going to let you know it. And I think there was a mentality there against the Nets that was clear. They need to now find that against the Bucks.
You got to put Giannis on his heels somehow, at least some of the time. You got to push back. You got to push back. So the one thing I'm worried about with Tatum in this series, as far as pushing back, is every time he gets the ball, I feel like they're going to run two people at him. So he's going to be inclined to give it up, which is the right thing to do. So I think they're going to try to take him out of that sort of mindset. So then it comes to Brown. And I don't know if Brown can go in there and challenge Giannis the way Tatum could.
This is a question that I've had about your team for a long time. Mindset, makeup, DNA, and it's the one impediment to you being a champion, because I think you have championship talent on the Celtics. I've said this for a long time, and I think they crossed a lot of thresholds in terms of mentality, but I don't know if they've crossed them all. The game one, if I really look at it, is kind of a bad sign in terms of Milwaukee came in big, tough, assertive, established himself. And you responded by bitching to the officials and getting hurt. Jaylen Brown grabs his hamstring. Marcus Smart, shoulder, thigh, knee. Robert Williams, I know he got kicked in the Nuggets, so easy for me to say. But it's like, how do you respond? Do you go back and you get in Milwaukee's face? Do you go back and compete with them? Or do you turn to the ref and grab your shoulder? You know, what are you? What are you going to do? And game one, I saw them turn to the ref and grab their hamstring. Or turn to the ref and run off the floor with a stinger. Or grab their ref, you know, bitch to the ref and topple to the floor because someone kicked you in the nuts. And it's, are you going to kick them in the nuts? Why don't you kick them in the nuts back and leave the refs alone? It's going to go back and forth all series long. So I still don't know if they have that true mentality, Mez. And, you know, those two things I mentioned, the bitching to the refs and the playing up the injuries, make you a tough watch. And that's just sort of an aesthetic thing. It's like, good God, I got put up with this. I got to hear about Marcus Smart being questionable tonight. Like, what a joke is that? Does anyone think Marcus Smart is not playing tonight?
Nope.
No.
Is Marcus Smart not going to play with a thigh bruise? Is he going to sit out this game with a bruise? I mean, does anyone think that?
I mean, if that actually happens, then that's a really bad sign.
It's not. He's going to play.
Of course he is.
He's a tough guy.
Of course he is.
And he'll play through injury. He has in the past, and he will tonight. But the way it's being played up, why are you playing it up so much? And I started taking it as a warning sign. So if things go bad, is he going to start hobbling around out there? Oh, my thigh. And when things go bad for Jaylen Brown, is he going to turn around and grab his hamstring? And when things go wrong for Tatum, is he going to turn to the ref? With that just that painful look on his face? It's like you've got to get past that thing. The opponent is not the ref. The injuries are not to blame. The opponent's over there on the other side. You got to go stare him down and beat him. And if you have that mentality, you will win because you are probably a better team and one of the best teams in the league. You'll win championships. But I haven't seen that yet.
No, and this is the...
by the way, you enable them out there. You enable them with all your crap. Go ahead.
And this is the really worrisome part about Giannis, if you ask me, is that you would say, okay, like whether it's Tice or Williams or Horford, Giannis comes down the lane, jump up, arms straight up in the air. If you slam into him, you slam into him. I'm not saying an elbow or a flagrant. I'm saying make the contact.
Or, you know, I think being tough, Maz, is just being willing
to go into the lane and get fouled and go to the floor, go to the line, and then do it again.
Exactly.
You don't
have
to elbow him. Just take, you know, toughness isn't always delivering a shot. The toughest players I've ever seen just take the shot and keep coming back.
Right, which is what I was with Giannis. He won't get deterred. He'll keep coming back. But you got to keep doing it. So if he could, and on both ends. So now the one thing I worry about Murray is I don't think they can score in there. So I worry about more on the defensive end than the offense. If Giannis wants to come into the paint, and whether it's, I don't care if you have to bring the Green Hornet into the game. Okay, somebody go up and make the contact and send Giannis to the line. And I pick on Tice because Tice is an easier guy to lose. But because Giannis is going to keep coming in there, he's not going to stop. He's tough. He will compete. They got to match that or they're going to get smoked.
So a thing on Giannis is that his free throw shooting has gone down in the playoffs. Obviously, we know what happened in the finals last year. And he carried that through the regular season, shooting 72%. He was only 6 of 11 in game one. And I think against the Bulls, he was in the 60%, maybe even less. So his with the bigger games here, he sort of reverted on the free throw line. You may not be hurting yourself on the scoreboard anyway with Giannis at the line. I mean, now that I say that, maybe he'll go 14 for 15, have one of those nights. But his free throw shooting's down to this point. So maybe you can take advantage of that. Otherwise, the shooting of the three, like I said before, it's kind of a pickle for you because I'm sure their analysts there in with the Celtics are sitting there saying at 36%, 36% gave us 54 points off of our 50 attempts. That's better than going just over 50% from two. You know, you'd have to shoot 53, 54% from two to match that 54-point total on 50 shots, and it's like, I don't know if we can do that. Can we shoot over 50% in the lane against that team? So I wonder if the Celtics are going to be once again on the three-point line chucking away. That might be the smart strategy. Just shoot better.
I mean, if they do that exclusively, they'll lose the series. They're not good enough shooters to win it from out there, and Milwaukee knows it. So to me, they're going to have to take some, and I say mid-range jumpers, Murray. I'm talking about 16 footers, like free throw line area,
yeah,
elbow,
yeah.
16, 17 feet. I'm not talking about one step inside the line. I'm talking about the Paul Pierce jumper.
Yeah.
Paul Pierce went to the Hall of Fame on that freaking shot from the two-pointer from the elbow, the right elbow. Tatum should be able to make those in his sleep.
Agreed. The analysts don't want you to take them, though. Back to the nerds. It's easy just to blame the nerds for everything. Millennials and nerds, easy targets.
Same thing.
Back to your phones right after this.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline MA.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
They love each other.
That's a lie. It's bullcrap.
And the audience loves them.
I'm definitely grumpy. I don't care. Well, listen, guess what? You're in New England.
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Up.
I'm curious, Richard, did what happened yesterday change any of your thoughts on how this series is going to play out?
No, in the beginning, I thought that the Bucks were going to have to shoot the ball extremely well from three, especially without Chris Middleton, because you don't have that other playmaker. So a lot of it is going to be Drew and Giannis handling that physicality. Where he handled the physicality, didn't really shoot the ball particularly well, but you can see how that still allowed for open shots for his teammates. So if they can shoot between 38 and 42, that gives them a chance to win. But I do believe Boston's going to play exponentially better as the series goes on.
Richard Jefferson, ESPN, still likes the Celtics. Do you?
I haven't given up yet, if that's what you mean. I mean, I'm more concerned than I was before game one. So can I say that I don't like them as much as I did at the beginning? I liked them going into the series. I didn't like what I saw in game one.
If they play,
I'll stick with it for now, but I reserve the right to change my mind tomorrow.
Yeah, but if they play like a really competitive game tonight and lose by like 2 or 4 points, but they still lose, I still think it's going to be a series and it'll go 7. If they look like Sunday and they lose tonight, this is going to go 5 tops, like gentleman sweep type stuff.
Yeah, so the math gets onerous, you know?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
It's like, you and I.
Well, you lose the first two at home, you're almost always cooked.
It's I don't know how many teams. Celtics came back from the Bulls, the Isaiah Thomas here, remember? When his,
Rondo got hurt.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and his sister, right? Yeah, and he, you know, Isaiah Thomas's sister. She passed away or died, right? They lost the first one and then came back, blah, blah, blah. So, I mean, it happens, but you're not exactly doing that against Giannis and the defending champion. So, you know, you go down 0-2, the math, more than anything. I mean, I think you can go win in Milwaukee. Can you win both? You know? So
look, even if they got behind 2-1, I wouldn't completely eliminate them for this reason. You split there, you come back. In theory, maybe you win game 5. Now they have to play game 6, knowing that they're, you know, game 7 is looming. But I'm grasping at straws here. Those are long shots.
Has anyone changed their mind off of game 1? I think Stephen A. did. Give me number 2, Jimmy, real quick. You mentioned Stephen A.
I picked the Celtics to win this series in 7 games. By halftime, I was ready to change my pick. I mean, they have no answer for Giannis. Zero. You know, he's bigger. He's stronger. He's faster. It reminds me, remember that? It's old school. Remember Steve Austin, the bionic man, the $6 million man, the bionic man and stuff like that? You know, he's better than he was before. Better, stronger, faster. I mean, this is who Giannis Antetokounmpo is. And they have no answer for him. And
So you can stop. I don't totally agree with that. I think they did a good job on him. I think Horford... I would worry about Horford staying upright for 7 games, given his age. And can he do that 7 games? That would be my concern. But in game 1, I thought Horford was excellent on him.
I thought overall defensively they were.
Yeah, I agree.
Me too.
101 points is what you held them to, right?
Yeah, there's no one that can play him one-on-one, though. And I told you, I would consider if I were the Celtics, maybe that's what he means by no answer. I would consider if I were the Celtics, don't let him kick out to threes. Let him get 60. I mean, Michael Jordan scored 63 here in the 80s, and his team lost the series and lost the game. So, like, one player shouldn't be able to beat you if you're playing your game. So the threes hurt more than the twos, not just the math, but, like, I don't know, maybe you let Giannis go off. Let him get all the points he wants.
All right. Tell you what, though, that's the kind of wishy-washiness I like from Stephen A. there. See one thing, now I've changed my mind.
No. Halftime.
Yeah.
It was halftime. He was willing to change his mind.
I picked the Celtics to win this series in 7 games. By halftime, I was ready to change my mind.
Tim in Nashua. Go ahead, Tim.
Mike, Bruins and the Celtics, playoffs are a different animal. Who do you have? I can't stand Grizzlick and I can't stand Frederick. And then you watch Giannis do what he wants on the court. Who does each coach have to put in? Or do they have to instill that killer instinct in all these players?
So
there's nobody behind on each team.
Nobody
to replace them.
Look, I think if Tatum and Brown fully engage and, again, either dig deeper or raise their level, whichever direction you want to go, but you know what I'm talking about, engage and go back at the Bucks with the next level of intensity or commitment, they have the talent more than enough talent to beat the Bucks, and they can do it. The question is, can they get there? But they have it. The Bruins don't have those kind of answers. They can certainly be more assertive in front of the net and those sort of things, like Taylor Hall was talking about. But I guess they could expect more from Marchand and Bergeron. Those guys were invisible last night.
No, they really were. Yeah, they really were. Again, that's their top line. Marchand, he's another one. Was Marchand a -3 in that game, too? He might have been.
Oh, look, Marchand was, he had three shots. I think Murray put this in our email chain. He had three shots, and I don't remember any of them. Marchand was -3. Crap.
He and Grizzlick both, I think, now that I think of it, they were the two worst.
-3, and he had two shots on net, but either way, I don't remember either of the two. Maybe the answer is the same. Your just best players have got to elevate.
And his time on ice, too, correct me if I'm wrong, I'm going to look at it. I think it was like less than 19 minutes.
Marchand was 18 and a half, so is that below an average?
That's a lot for a forward.
It
though.
Is, Murray. Okay. Forwards usually don't get over 20. The defensemen do. But as I'm just eyeballing it here, he might have had the most time of ice of any forward.
Yeah, because he penalty kills too, right? So he's going to end power play.
So Taylor Hall had 18:30. Marchand had 18:24. Usually the centers have the most. Coyle had 17. Bergeron, make me do this on the fly, had only 16. Well, I mean, Marchand got his time.
Yeah, Bergeron had a penalty, though. He was in the box too for 2 minutes.
He was just kind of invisible. To this point, Billy and Brockton. Go ahead, Billy.
How you doing? If they continue to struggle scoring, do you put that top line back together, Marshawn, Poston,
no.
Bergeron? I know in the past against the Kings, they usually do pretty well.
I'm sorry to yell at you. No. I think the two-line thing is working because you didn't get much from the first line, if anything, and by the end of the game, Taylor Hall in that line was flying all over the place and giving you the offense.
I actually think you get some opportunities out of the second line, too. Coyle and Smith generated a couple.
Coyle could have had a couple. I don't think that line was really impactful, but Coyle got saved in the first period on a rebound that was a good bid, and then in the third period, he had a goal that the defenseman batted away. So, no. Just because your first line isn't scoring, I mean, when you only score once, you look at everything, but this is the whole point. You're going to lose a little something from the first line to get more out of your more balanced lineup. I still think they did last night.
Their first line, I think last night, was probably their worst line, if you want to know the truth, now that I think of it. And I would lean on Hall if I'm them. When you add up all the skill that Hall has, the skill, the speed, the strength, name me another Bruins forward that has all three of those things. I'm not sure they do. Marchand's smaller. Hall is strong. He can fly. That was it. The one that hit the post or the one after where he shot right down the middle of the ice.
This is the one that hit the post.
Holy crap! He looked like he was moving at a different speed than everybody else. He was so fast.
So he's the one guy that has a combination that can match what Carolina has. It's true. The rest of them play a little more deliberately. Mark in New Hampshire on the Celts. Hi, Mark.
Yes, in terms of analytics. A player who takes all his shots from 10 feet away and makes 6 out of every 10 scores as many points as a player who takes all his threes and makes 40%.
Who shoots, Mark, who shoots 60%? Who shoots 60% from the floor?
From 10 feet away. Those shots aren't being taken. That's my point.
I'm sure there's
they pull up.
Yeah. Hey, you know, Mark, I'm just countering you, but I actually agree. I think there's so many mid-range opportunities in these games now, and no one takes them. And if you just had a good mid-range jump shot, you'd get fat. That's Middleton. And Bobby Portis does it a little bit. You'll see him do it. And it's so refreshing. When you see a guy just take a, generic elbow two-pointer. It's wide open. It's there. But can you shoot 60% from there?
But I don't know that it has to be that high. I think you're just going to be around 50, and you'll be okay. I'm not looking to match what I can make from three.
But again, the guys that run the game now tell you, okay, if you shoot 50% from the elbow, you only have to shoot 35 from behind the line. You're better off shooting the three. This is where you have to shoot higher than 50% from the two to make that a more efficient shot.
Okay, except that in the last game, what did they shoot from two?
Oh, like 33%?
Yeah, it was like 29 or something like that, right? It was like really, really low. So what I'm saying is, keep making the same from threes, but take better twos. Don't go into the paint and challenge Giannis and Lopez. So try to stay more in the elbow area, because if you go in there, they're going to protect the rim. They're great at it. That's what they do.
Jack in Charlestown. What do you got, Jack, on the Bees?
Yeah, you guys are burying Grizzly already. We haven't even had a wake.
You haven't had a what?
A wake. Let us go to the wake before you bury him. You guys have been burying him all afternoon. He pinched, yeah, okay. It was a mistake, but I'll make him. But you guys bury him constantly when he makes a mistake.
Yeah, because he sucks.
Well, I understand, Jack. Charlestown's own. I get it. You got to protect your own. And I don't mean to bury the kid, you know.
You don't want to sell the farm.
Father's a good guy, works on the bull gang. I get it, local kid, all of this, so I got to go easy on him. He's a -3. Could have been a -4. He pinched on the key play of the game, and it cost him the game, or helped cost him the game. And I just call it as I see it. Local kid, but I'd like to be nice to him if he deserved it. I don't know. When I say deserved it, like if he played better, I think you've lost. I think the team has lost more than I would have predicted going from Krug to Grizzly. They've lost more than I thought.
Oh, definitely. And again, forget the one goal, the pinch. It was huge. Don't get me wrong. As you said, he was a -3. Don't make it sound like that was the only negative play of the game.
And if they didn't get that lucky call on the goalie interference, it would have been -4.
You know how many shots on goal Grizzly had last night?
Zero.
Zip. And he's supposed to be a better offensive defenseman than a better defensive one. He's not giving you anything at the other end of the ice either. Like, let's not just focus on the one misplay. He's not giving him anything.
Back to your calls at 617-779-0985 after Murray gets you updated.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
Felder. Oh, he is a manipulative weasel.
And Matt.
He does himself no service by actually talking.
You've got to listen to Believe.
It's about me.
Yes, absolutely.
It's about me.
No question.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Did you want to know my biggest concern?
Yeah.
Is Giannis Antetokounmpo, the Greek freak, his dominance. And to hear Jaylen Brown say, we weren't prepared, and you hear the Celtics say, we wasn't ready for that physicality, how in the hell you wasn't? You knew that you were playing against the most dominant player in the NBA. You knew that you was coming against the best player in the NBA. And when I look at Giannis, it's a reason that I actually picked the Celtics in 7 games and not 5 or 6. Is because I'm afraid of him and what he's capable of doing. And look, he shot 9 for 25 last night. He actually had a worse game for us shooting-wise, but he imposed his will in other areas, rebounding the ball, his defense, making guys around him better. I am terrified of Giannis Antetokounmpo, and he's given me signs of LeBron James when he was in the Eastern Conference with the Cleveland Cavaliers, that you have to go through him, and he's standing in your way. And right now, the way that he's dominating and also being the best player in the game, the Jays are going to have to step up even more physicality-wise and have to be a ton better if they want to get past this Milwaukee Bucks team.
Our buddy Perk. Giannis, LeBron, is that a fair comparison?
I mean, it's not perfect, but I would say that there were a lot of similarities. LeBron wasn't a great shooter either, you know. Never has been. I mean, no, so...
I mean, LeBron's better.
Yeah, and can handle the ball, you know. LeBron
better.
Is...
They're better.
Yeah.
At this point, I mean, if Giannis takes his game to another level, you know, get back to me, but LeBron's better. But the whole component of once he broke through, you know, there was no team, no game, no spot that was too big for him, and you always had to worry about him taking over. Like, I think Giannis is rounding into that thing.
Yeah, and again, they're both really athletic, strong. You know, Giannis is taller, both ends of the floor. There's a lot of truth to it. It's, you know, LeBron is better, no question.
After that closeout game last year against Phoenix, how can you doubt that? You know, that was like LeBron's game six here in 2012 in the Eastern Conference Finals. Like, that's the flip the switch game where it's like, oh, you can never doubt this guy again.
I hope so. Yep. Dan and Clinton. Go ahead, Dan.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I think aside from the fact that it was our worst offensive performance all year, I kind of agree with Maz. Maybe it's a little wake-up call. You know, without Middleton, they do have shooters, so maybe prevent Giannis from kicking out so much. Go Seas. Have a good one, guys.
Okay, man. I do think everyone has underappreciated the Bucks cast. And I don't blame you. Like, how should you know? Why should you know Wes Matthews and Bobby Portis and those guys? Never mind Grayson Allen, Pat Connaughton, and Drew Holiday. Like, it's not your job to know that. They're better than people give them credit for. And it's not just the thing that I thought was off the mark going into the series was it's Giannis Middleton. It's not how they play. And I think you saw that in game one, and you probably will continue to see it. They've got Drew Holiday is an underrated player. He's a good player. Good winning player, and those other guys all shoot. Can shoot, will shoot. They can make and will make. And it's not just Middleton. They still have enough shooting if they're open and they're on to win games without Middleton.
I mean, that's why I wouldn't let Giannis kick. Go get your two. Go ahead. We'll foul you. And if you don't get fouled, we'll give you the two. If you do get fouled, maybe you'll miss. And at the other end, I would somehow try to get Tatum on Portis. That's the one I would go after. I don't think Portis is quite quick enough and athletic enough to stay with Tatum.
He's not. We've got John in Charlestown on the Bees. Hi, John.
Hey, John. Can I was going to make a Bruins Felgi, but can you let me have a Celtics too?
Go ahead.
The Bruins is this. It's almost like the Carolina offense is they have figured out a bunch of boneheaded plays that the Bees consistently make. They make these boneheaded. And then these guys pounce on them. The reason you look at the lopsided scores and you go, man, the Bees weren't 5-1 bad. Yeah, they weren't. But this team is predicated on pouncing on your boneheaded plays and then crushing you with it. Then playing defense until you make the next boneheaded play they'll pounce on. And then the other thing is, Felgi, can you please explain to me why the Bruins make it so complicated to get that entry during the power play,
yep.
Why can't they get the puck in?
I got it, John. I'll give you something on that. What's your quick Celtics take? Quick.
Celtics take is exactly what you're talking about. It's about toughness. Yeah, they should take the threes, but they can't concede the middle. They can't just say, okay, you made a wall. Yeah, we're not going to come in. We'll shoot the threes. Hell no. It's about toughness. It's about getting in there. Even if you fail, you can pass it out, but you got to not concede the paint.
Agreed. And they talk about this all the time on the telecast. It's like a technical basketball thing, but you have to touch the paint. It's a kick out three is fine. Once you've penetrated, you've touched the paint, you've had the defense collapse. Now you kick it out and the shot's open and the ball has moved and there's flow in the offense and that thing. I think there's a lot of truth to it. It's different than just passing it around the perimeter and then one guy shoots or taking it off the dribble like Peyton Pritchard did with 14 seconds left on the shot clock or whatever it was. Like, that's not a good three. They want you to penetrate, move the defense, collapse the defense, then kick out. And, like, that makes sense. They can at least do that. You know, they don't have to challenge Lopez and Giannis in there to do that, but they can just touch the paint.
Absolutely. Yeah, my concern is that they don't have the shooters on the outside to make it work like Milwaukee does.
They might not. The power play is the issue. There's those zone entries, that cute little play that they run. It does not work. It hasn't worked for the last month, and it ain't going to work against Carolina, the number one PK in the league. That has to come from the coach, and I know the players probably want to do it that way. They've been doing that way for a while, but giving it to David Pastrnak, twinkle toes there, to Dipsy Doo, and try and finesse his way over the blue line with some sort of drop pass, touch pass, some sort of cutesy little zone entry, it ain't happening. How many times did they have to get turned away at the blue line before they realize, why don't you just gain the red line and fire it in and go get it on the forecheck as if it were 5-on-5? The other thing's not working. You don't have Connor McDavid, so that ain't going to work for you.
You know what that felt like, that last power play? Like the Devils when they used to just line up guys, the blue line.
The neutral zone trap with left wing lock or whatever it was.
Yes. Yeah. You drop the puck and Brodeur would get it and flip it right back out, and that was it.
Ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
It really was. It was unbelievable.
They've got to change their mindset on that thing. Fire it in and go get it.
I'm with the caller who last segment of the one before who said, can you decline the penalty?
Mark and Stoughton, quick.
Hey, how you doing? You know, how do you reward somebody who was a minus three? All right? Grezlik is going to now be up against the top pair against Carolina. I don't get that. And another thing, this team just lacks that strong physical play. That they can't play a heavy game. Do you notice that the defensemen for Carolina are all big? They're keeping the Bruins to the outside.
Well, part of that is you're keeping yourself to the outside, too.
That's will.
I mean, you can still get in there.
You got to stick your nose in there again. You got to get in there.
That Carolina defense isn't that big. You're not facing like that Blues decor, that Tampa decor. I don't think they're, I'll go look at it, but I don't think they have quite that size. It doesn't feel that way to me.
No, and they're not like bone crushers either. They're fast and skilled. That whole team's fast.
It is.
Boy, they can really move. Holy crap. When you watch it, you can see it. They fly. They freaking fly.
So that's their calling card. So we continue. Thoughts on Bruins. Thoughts on Celtics. I do want to give some developing opinions I have on the Patriots in the draft and the reaction to it and what is starting to concern me about the reaction to the draft and also sort of bubbling reporting going on about their lack of command at the board, with the board and their so-called reaches, and who do we blame for that and who is really in charge of that? A couple thoughts on those things. We'll do it in our long commercial-free segment next.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using the promo code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Springfield.
The best analysis.
Forget about what's being said. Everyone's ripping someone for something somewhere.
Felder and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'll say this, Peter, I've given up trying to figure out the Patriots. They drafted a quarterback. Every one of their draft picks to me felt like a reach. I wasn't the only one. What did you make? And then they draft the kid, the guard, in the first round. The Rams get caught. I don't know. I thought the Rams were laughing at themselves, not the Patriots, but a lot of people thought they were laughing at New England. What do you make of Belichick's drafting weekend? What do you make of it?
I mean, look, this is a bizarre word to use for Bill Belichick, but and I wrote this in my column. I thought that pick was naive. I mean, in the wake of Thursday night's draft, I've talked to 25 people around the league, just, you know, or texted with them a conversation. Hey, what'd you think? What'd you think of this? What'd you think of that? There's not a soul who thought that was a smart pick or B, a guy who wouldn't have been available midway or late in the second round. And look, Colin, you know, you've got all of these teams that moved around late in the first round. You know, you look at all of the trades that were made from teams moving up in the second round from the second round to get picks in the late first round.
Yeah.
Are you telling me that nobody called the Patriots? And I just, I don't understand why you would give first round value to a guy who most people thought was a third round pick.
Okay, a couple of developing opinions on the Pats and the draft reaction. And I want to first say that my first take is that we should all separate the draft prognosticators, the media guys that say the Patriots reached, versus league guys saying the Patriots reached. So the Peter King cut, I think, says it well. Peter King is not saying, well, on my board, I had Cole Strange in the 80s. I had Cole Strange going in the third round. I had Cole Strange right where the Patriots... He's not doing that. He's saying, I talked to teams around the league, and the league people told me that pick wasn't right. So let's be careful about that, because the media prognostication, Maz, I mean, you could really wipe your tush with it.
Oh, of course. Yeah, look, again, we're proof.
good point. But I mean, seriously, like, and the Patriots have just gotten lambasted. And we have a chart here on NBC Sports Boston, but I'll just give you a quick sampling. So here are their draft grades according to media outlets. NFL.com, C+, Pro Football Focus, D, DraftWire, D-, Sporting News, C-, The Score, D+, and I don't know who half of these are, but just work with me. ESPN, C+, USA Today, D+, Washington Post, C, SB Nation, D+, NBC Sports Edge, D-. They're getting killed by the media folks.
And Mike, just quickly on some of those, like I think you mentioned ESPN, right? I don't think they gave any D's. So my point is, the lowest grade that a lot of these guys give is a C or a C+.
A lot of these places all only give A's and B's historically. Todd McShay called the Patriots draft confusing. Mel Kiper in his write up, where he gave you a C+, he got out in front of it because he knows he's hearing from you babies. The first line of his write up says, "Are we allowed to question the draft from Bill Belichick? Like, can I do my job? Like, are we allowed to question the great Bill Belichick?" That's how he started his thing. He says, the Patriots haven't exactly lit up over the last few drafts. He says, I don't think they got value with their first two picks this year. Cole Strange, a nice guard. I didn't see a first-round pick on tape, though. Round two, there were several better wide receivers available when New England took Tyquan Thornton. Yes, he has blazing speed, but Alec Pierce, George Pickens, Sky Moore, and Jalen Tolbert all would have been better picks. It's another selection without value, writes Mel Kiper. I mean, these are entertaining to read and fun to go through, but really, they don't matter, and that's not what I'm basing it on. And let me just give you a good example of it, because I'm consistent about this. In the past, when Bill had all of his aura and everyone just kissed his ass, he routinely came out of the draft and got A's, which would lead me to go on there the next day and say, you know what, F, just because no one has any idea. It is so, the post-draft analysis and the grades, about like top 10 stupidest things we ever do. Before I give it another sample, here's a graphic on NBC Sports Boston. I think this is in Volans' column or is on in the Globe. I can't remember. It was a retweet from someone, I can't remember who, Jack Lichtenstein. I don't know who that is, but I want to give him full credit because it's a cool sort of thing. It's a chart. NFL draft team by team deviations from the consensus board. And so all they do is it's an algorithm where they, it's like the Nate Silver's polling averages. They take all the mocks, all the draft analysis, and form a consensus. And based on the 200 mock drafts, the 200 scouting services, the 200, you know, and I'm just making that number, whatever there is, they average out where Cole Strange should have gone on average and where Tyquan Thornton should have gone on average, for example, and then where you drafted him versus what the consensus was. Based on the consensus, the Kansas City Chiefs had the best value based on the consensus, where they picked versus where they were supposed to. Dead last by far was New England. Dead last. And if you're seeing the chart on TV, you know what I'm talking about. Okay, but again, I think that's mostly media services. And they're wrong on both sides of it. God, they used to be wrong when they gave the Patriots A's. For an example, an emailer sent me this. And I hope he's right. I didn't check it. I don't know how I could. I'll just take his word for it. But this sounds right. The day after the 2019 draft, okay, to refresh your memory, the 2019 draft, folks, the first two picks off the board were N'Keal Harry and Juwan Williams. followed by Chase Winovich, Damian Harris, Yoni Kajust, Haldy Froholt, Stidham, Byron Cowart, Jake Bailey, Ken Webster, Isaiah Wynn was the year before. Crap sandwich of a draft. Crap sandwich. All you really got out of it at the end of the day was Damian Harris. You know what Kuiper gave him? A-. Know what CBS Sports gave him? A+. Know what USA Today did? A. Yahoo Sports, A-. Sports Illustrated, B+. SB Nation, B+. I remember reading this and coming on the next day and saying, no, it's an F. These a-holes have no idea. So just as Kuiper had no idea that was a bad draft, he has no idea if this is a good one or a bad one. No, the media guys don't know. It's the league guys. So when Peter King says, I talked to 25 teams, I don't think he's making it up. I know you all got a hair across your ass for Peter King. Oh, Peter, Bill doesn't talk to you, so you're mean to the Patriots. I'm sorry, I don't think that's the case. I think he just talks to league people and regurgitates what they tell him. It's the league people that concern me. And so I think these reporters, and I'm talking to more and more of them, who don't reveal their sources or don't report all that they hear because it is just scuttlebutt. But more and more of these guys have talked to league people who are saying, well, what were the Patriots doing? Some have gone public with them, like Bert Breer said on the early edition. I think this was after round one. This might have been way back on last Friday. Can't remember when this clip was, but Bert Breer knows that Cole Strange was a reach, not because of where Cole Strange was on his board, but from people that he talked to. Just play the clip, Jim.
I've been on the phone for the last 18 hours since the draft ended, and I just can't find a team that thinks that he was going to go at the top of the second round. I think there are plenty of teams that felt like he was a solid third rounder. Some teams felt like, okay, maybe he can slip into the back of the second round. But I think the best example might be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. It appears that that's one of the teams the Patriots were worried about taking him. They pick, of course, after trading down with the Titans at 33rd overall. They have the first pick tonight. My understanding is the Buccaneers did like Cole Strange. They do have a need at guard. Even with Shaq Mason there, they lost their two starting guards from last year, Ali Marpet and Alex Kappa. But the consideration for them would be to take him at 60, not at 33. And so you hear teams like Cole Strange, and that's absolutely true. But I think those teams like him at the end of the second round and into the third round. And so I think he would have been there as they waited till 54.
So that's not Bert's board. He's not saying, I had him at 89 on my big board. He said, I talked to the teams.
Right.
Tampa. They're not going to take him at 34. They're going to take him at 60. And, you know, so it's the league guys that they're talking to. Bedard, after talking to league people, you know, league executives are questioning the Patriots and how they manipulated the board. That's not Greg's opinion. He's not saying on my big board. He's saying, no, I talked to people. And this is what they're saying. Tom Curran, wrote something similar. I'm sorry, this is Bedard. He said, we don't know the answers yet, but personnel executives around the league, including some with New England ties, are asking those same questions after seeing New England's final board. This is what you need to pay attention to. And there's like sort of a chorus of it. The league hated what you did. Forget F. Mel Kiper. The league hated what you did. And that's what I pay attention to.
Yeah, and look, not to cross sports, but you know when the league hated a Boston draft? The Bruins in 2015.
It's so true.
I'm not kidding. Do you remember that?
Oh, God. Yeah.
The league hated what the Bruins did in 2015, and that was a franchise-altering mistake, that draft. So let's hope that's not the case. I'm not, it's crossing sports. I'm not telling you it's apples to apples. But that league response in 2015 was, what the hell are the Bruins doing?
I remember that. At the gazebo on Nantucket, if you know it. Happened to be a league executive, a personnel guy, a scout, the head scout, another team, Eastern Conference scout. How's that? Just out of nowhere. I just ran into him. It was 2016, I think. He said, boy, they screwed up that draft. I'm like, what? Like, I didn't say what? I said, oh, yeah. They're going to be hating that one for a long time. They screwed that one up. Like, people knew it immediately with that.
I think it was even earlier than that. I think it was within a month of that draft when people said they picked the wrong players.
I think it was after the third pick of the three that they had in the first round that people were saying that.
I'm telling you, I remember specifically talking to someone who said people around the league were looking at the Bruins draft going, what the hell are they doing?
So that's what they're doing with the Bruins draft. And I'm not talking about Kuiper.
You mean the Patriots draft.
Patriots, sorry. I'm talking about the Patriots. That's what people are saying about the Patriots draft. And so who do we blame for the lack of command of the board and the reaching and all of this?
Patricia.
All right. Or is it Bill? Was it his draft? Was it Mac Groh's draft. Let's get into this because Bedard had an interesting nugget on this. And we'll do it after a Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials. Don't go in.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code WBZMASS and receive up to $1,000 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions.
21 years of age or older to wager. Massachusetts only. New customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Play it smart from the start with GameSense. GameSenseMA.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-327-5050 or visit GamblingHelplineMA.org in partnership with MGM Sports. Greenfield.
Be honest, wouldn't you like to play more golf this year? As the State Golf Association for Massachusetts, Mass Golf is ready to help, and they want you to become a member. By joining, you'll automatically get a handicap index from the USGA, access to play exclusive private clubs through Mass Golf events, and a bundle of additional benefits. Best of all, it costs just $55 to join. Visit massgolf.org and make today a golf day.